Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the 3M fourth quarter earnings conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the one followed by the four on your telephone keypad. It is recommended that you use a landline phone if you're going to register for a question. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, January 30th, 2014. I would now like to turn the call over to Matt Ginter, Vice President of Investor Relations at 3M.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. On today's call, we'll discuss our fourth quarter and full year 2013 performance, along with the 2014 outlook. Inge and David will each make some opening comments, and we'll leave plenty of time for your questions. Let me mention a few upcoming dates and events. First, our 2014 earnings conference calls are set for April 24th, July 24th, and October 23rd. Also, we'll host an investor meeting on the morning of Tuesday, December 16th. I know that calendars fill quickly, so please hold this date. More details will be available later this year. Note that today's earnings release and slide presentation accompanying the call are posted on our investor relations website at 3m.com under the heading Quarterly Earnings. Please take a moment to read the forward-looking statement on slide two. During today's conference call, we will make certain predictive statements that reflect our current views about 3M's future performance and financial results. These statements are based on certain assumptions and expectations of future events that are subject to risks and uncertainties. Item 1A of our most recent Form 10-K lists some of the most important risk factors that could cause actual results to differ from our predictions. Please turn to slide three, and I'll turn the call over to Inge Thulin, 3M's Chairman, President, and Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Matt, and good morning, everyone. I appreciate you joining us for the call today. For 3M, 2013 was a very successful year. Our team did an excellent job of bringing our vision and strategy to life and increasing 3M's relevance to customers around the world. We delivered a strong performance, and importantly, we had advanced the company through the three key strategic levers: portfolio management, investment in research and development, and business transformation. Let me give you a bit more on each of these key levers. In 2013, portfolio management remained at the front of how we manage 3M. For example, we combined and scaled businesses in electronics and energy to better serve our customers, gain rapid cost synergies, and address underperforming businesses. We took similar actions in safety and graphics to enhance our product offerings and improve our relevance to customers. When it made sense, we exited, as we did with the fly fishing business within the Consumer Business Group. We continued to build strengths on strengths by investing in research and development, which is the heartbeat of our plan. Our increased investment is focused on long-term disruptive technologies aimed at opportunities with significant growth potential. We made good progress with business transformation enabled by our global ERP implementation. We rolled out in several countries in 2013 as we move forward into the deployment phase. This effort will help us to create a more efficient and productive 3M. Our teams are building on the experiences from the initial rollouts in order to improve our capabilities to deploy going forward. Overall, very good execution by our team in these strategic levers. At our investor meeting in December, we announced plans to better optimize our capital structure. These plans will reduce our total cost of capital, allow us to further expand the company, and enable even higher returns to our shareholders. Organic growth remains key to our plans, so we will continue to invest in CapEx and research and development. We are planning to invest $5 billion-$10 billion in acquisitions through 2017, with more possible given the right strategic opportunity. We also announced in December a 35% increase to our first quarter 2014 dividend along with a stronger commitment to share repurchases. Over the 2013 to 2017 planning period, we expect cross-share repurchases of $17 billion-$22 billion versus a prior expected range of $7.5 billion-$15 billion. This more aggressive deployment of capital reflects the strength of our business model and our confidence in 3M's future. Now I will review financial highlights from 2013. Please turn to slide four. For the year, sales were nearly $31 billion, up 3.2% in dollar terms. Organic local currency growth was 3.4%, led by Healthcare and Industrial at 5% and Safety and Graphics at 4%. Geographically, we posted positive organic growth in all regions. Latin America, Canada led the way with organic growth of 7%. Asia Pacific rose 4%, the United States was up 3%, and Europe, Middle East, Africa was up 2%. Currency impacts reduced worldwide sales by 1.6%, and acquisitions added 1.4% to sales growth for the year. Operating margins remained strong at 21.6% or 21.9% excluding acquisitions. Four of our five business groups delivered margins above 21%, evidence of continued broad-based effectiveness and efficiency. Earnings were $6.72 per share, up 6.3% year-over-year. We returned a record $6.9 billion in cash to shareholders through dividends and share repurchases. Finally, free cash flow conversion was 89%, with return on invested capital at 20%. Overall, I'm very pleased with our 2013 results. We delivered good broad-based performance while investing and building for long-term success. Let me now review the outlook. Please turn to slide five. We describe our 2014 planning estimates in detail at our December investor meeting, and we are maintaining those estimates today. We expect 2014 earnings per share in the range of $7.30-$7.55 and organic local currency growth of +3% to +6%. Foreign currency translation is expected to be neutral to -1%, and we anticipate a tax rate of 28%-29% with free cash flow conversion of 90%-100%. I now turn the call over to David Meline for the detail on the fourth quarter results. David?
Thank you, Inge. I'll begin by reviewing the fourth quarter sales growth. Please turn to slide number six. Organic local currency growth was 3.4% in the fourth quarter, including organic volume growth of 2% and selling price increases of 1.4%. Price increases have been positive in 2013 for a couple of reasons. First, investment in research and development continues to support a strong price-value equation in many of the markets that we serve. Second, we adjust selling prices to offset currency devaluations in certain developing countries, which has been the case in 2013. Acquisitions added 0.7 points to sales growth in the quarter, all due to Ceradyne in our Industrial Business Group. We acquired Ceradyne in late November of 2012, so we are now past the one-year mark, and beginning with December reporting, we no longer report Ceradyne sales as acquisitions. Foreign exchange impacts reduced sales by 1.7 percentage points in the fourth quarter. Currency impacts were -6% in Latin America, Canada, and -5% in Asia Pacific, while EMEA had a +3% currency impact year-on-year. On a total U.S. dollar basis, sales rose 2.4% versus the fourth quarter of 2012. Looking geographically, local currency sales growth was 4.5% in the United States, the highest of any region during the quarter. All business groups grew organically in the U.S., with particular strength in Industrial and in Safety and Graphics. Organic sales growth in EMEA was 3.4% in the fourth quarter. West Europe, in particular, grew by 3%, continuing the positive trends we have seen in recent quarters. In Germany, the largest of our West Europe subsidiaries grew a solid 8% organically. All businesses posted positive organic growth in EMEA, led by industrial. Asia Pacific grew 3.3% organically in the fourth quarter, with consumer, healthcare, and safety and graphics leading the way. Industrial also posted positive organic growth in the fourth quarter within APAC, and electronics and energy grew just slightly. Japan continued to grow nicely with 4% organic growth year on year. China, Hong Kong grew 1% organically versus a tough prior year comp of 16% plus in the fourth quarter of 2012. Excluding electronics, China, Hong Kong grew more than 6% organically in Q4. Organic local currency sales growth was 2.2% in Latin America, Canada during the fourth quarter, which was below recent trend levels for a few reasons. One, we saw some slowing in government tenders for infrastructure projects in certain countries, which impacted sales in our electronics and energy business. Consumer was also soft in Q4 due to weak retail demand and challenging year-on-year comps. And lastly, sales in Venezuela declined year-on-year due to economic and the political situation there. Venezuela diluted fourth quarter organic growth in Latin America, Canada by 1.5 percentage points, and we continue to work towards minimizing our Bolivar exposure and any associated costs. Organic local currency growth was 4% across all developing markets and 3% in developed markets. Let's turn to slide number 7 for a discussion of the fourth quarter income statement. Sales for the fourth quarter were $7.6 billion, an increase of 2.4% in dollar terms. Gross profit rose 5.8% to $3.6 billion, and gross margins rose by a solid 1.5 percentage points to 47.5%. SG&A spending increased in line with sales growth, and R&D as a percent of sales rose by 10 basis points to 5.8%. Operating income increased nearly 10% versus the fourth quarter of 2012. GAAP operating margins were 20.9%, up 140 basis points year on year. Organic volume growth added 20 basis points to margins, and the combination of lower raw material costs and higher selling prices contributed a positive 160 basis points year on year. Fourth quarter margins improved year on year in our recently acquired Ceradyne business, which added 30 basis points to total company operating margins in Q4. We expect further margin improvement in 2014 for this business. Strategic investments reduced margins by 70 basis points year on year. This represents incremental investments in disruptive R&D, ERP, and various restructuring actions. Lower year on year pension and OPEB expense boosted fourth quarter margins by 30 basis points, while foreign exchange impacts reduced margins by 40 basis points. Fourth quarter earnings increased 15% to $1.62 per share. Average diluted shares outstanding declined 3% year on year, which added 5 cents to EPS, and currency impacts hurt fourth quarter earnings per share by approximately 4 cents. The fourth quarter concluded a good year for the company, and the 3M team is energized and confident as we begin 2014. Now let's turn to cash flow. Please turn to slide number 8. We generated $2 billion of operating cash flow in the quarter, up $255 million versus last year's fourth quarter. Higher net income and lower pension contributions were the primary drivers of this improvement. Capital expenditures were $543 million, an increase of $36 million. Looking ahead to 2014, We continue to expect full-year CapEx will be in the range of $1.7 to $1.8 billion. Fourth quarter free cash flow was $1.5 billion, up $219 million year-on-year. And we converted 131% of net income to cash versus 124% in last year's comparable quarter. For the full year 2013, free cash flow was $4.2 billion and conversion was 89%. We paid $423 million in cash dividends during the quarter, or $1.7 billion year to date. And as Inge mentioned, in December, we announced a 35% increase in our first quarter 2014 dividend. Gross share repurchases were $1.7 billion in the fourth quarter and $5.2 billion for the full year. For 2014, we expect full-year gross share repurchases will be in the range of $3 to $5 billion. In total, we returned $2.1 billion in cash to shareholders in the fourth quarter, or $6.9 billion for the full year. Both are all-time record levels for 3M. Net debt at year-end 2013 increased $900 million year-on-year and $300 million sequentially. As I mentioned at our December investor meeting, we expect to add leverage of $2 to $4 billion in 2014 as we continue to improve the efficiency of our capital structure. During the fourth quarter, 3M issued an 8-year euro bond yielding less than 2%. The face amount was 600 million euros or 815 million US dollars. Let's now review our fourth quarter performance on a business by business basis. Please go to slide number 9. Our industrial business had another strong quarter with sales of 2.6 billion and 6% organic local currency growth. Our advanced materials and automotive OEM businesses generated double-digit organic growth, and we also posted good growth in 3M purification, aerospace, and automotive aftermarket. Organic local currency sales increased in all geographic regions, led by the U.S. at 8%. EMEA grew 6% in Q4, including more than 10% in Germany. Organic growth was 3% in both Asia-Pacific and in Latin America-Canada. The Ceradyne acquisition added 2% to industrial's growth in the quarter. Fourth quarter operating income was $553 million, up 14% year-on-year, and operating margins increased 150 basis points to 21.5%. Volume leverage, positive selling prices, and good productivity contributed to the improvement. Our industrial business had an outstanding year in 2013. Organic sales growth accelerated in the second half of the year versus the first, and sales exceeded $10 billion for the first time ever. Nice performance by the industrial team. Please turn to slide number 10. Our healthcare business generated sales of $1.4 billion in the fourth quarter. Sales rose 4% in organic local currency terms, with the strongest growth in health information systems, food safety, and critical and chronic care. Drug delivery systems declined in the quarter. All geographic regions generated positive organic local currency sales growth, with Asia Pacific up 6%. Latin America, Canada up 5%, and EMEA and the U.S. each up 3% in the quarter. In developing markets, healthcare grew 10% organically in the fourth quarter. This has been an area of strategic investment priority for some time, and we are encouraged to see consistently strong organic growth as a result. Fourth quarter operating income in healthcare was $425 million. Operating margins were 31.2%, which was very much in line with full year. Fourth quarter margins were down a point year on year against a strong comp in Q4 of 2012. The recently enacted U.S. medical device tax was a contributing factor. Please go to slide number 11. Safety and Graphics had a solid fourth quarter with 5% organic local currency sales growth and 16% growth in operating income. Organic growth was broad-based, with nearly all businesses posting positive growth. Personal safety, by far our largest business within safety and graphics, generated high single-digit organic growth in Q4. We also posted good growth in roofing granules, commercial graphics, and architectural markets. Sales in safety and graphics grew organically in all major geographic regions, with Latin America, Canada up 8%, Asia Pacific and the US up 6%, and EMEA up 1%. Operating income increased 16% to $256 million, and margins rose 2.2 percentage points to 19.1%. Profits benefited from volume leverage, price performance, and solid productivity. Now let's look at electronics and energy, found on slide 12. Fourth quarter sales in this business were $1.3 billion, up 0.4% in organic local currency terms, and operating income rose 1% to $221 million. Margins were 16.7%, up 40 basis points versus last year's fourth quarter. I mentioned in our October earnings call that we expected sales and earnings for electronics and energy to be very close to last year's levels, and in fact, that is what happened. Electronics-related sales declined 2% on an organic local currency basis, with positive growth in optical films offset by declines in other businesses. In our energy-related businesses, sales increased 2% organically, led by our electrical markets and renewable energy businesses. On a geographic basis, organic local currency sales increased 2% in EMEA and the United States. Asia Pacific rose slightly, and Latin America, Canada was down year on year. Despite challenging end market conditions, the electronics and energy team executed very well in 2013. Second half organic growth rates were stronger than the first, as were operating margins. It was a good result in a tough market. Finally, let's review the consumer business found on slide number 13. Sales in the consumer business group were $1.1 billion, with organic local currency growth of 1.3%. Recall that in the fourth quarter of 2012, consumer generated 9% organic local currency growth, so the comp here was quite challenging. Organic sales growth was strongest in our consumer healthcare and home care businesses, and we also had a positive organic growth in DIY. Sales declined slightly in stationery and office supplies, impacted by continued consolidation trends in the office retail and wholesale market. On the positive side, we recently launched a new line of Command adhesive products for outdoor use, which contributed nicely to fourth quarter growth. The U.S. retail shopping season is an important factor for the consumer business, and we would characterize this year's season as okay, but not strong. Fewer shopping days due to the late Thanksgiving holiday were a factor for most major U.S. retailers and for their suppliers. On a geographic basis, sales in organic local currencies increased 9% in Asia Pacific and rose slightly in both the U.S. and EMEA. Latin America, Canada declined 6% year on year. Operating income was $226 million, with operating margins of 20.4%. That concludes my comments regarding 3M's fourth quarter business results. I'll turn now the call back to Inge.
Thank you, David. To summarize, Q4 was a strong finish to a very successful year for 3M. In 2013, we achieved good growth and solid profitability while advancing our strategic initiatives and investments. Perhaps most importantly, we came out of 2013 stronger than we entered it, with both sales and earnings growth accelerating in the second half of the year versus the first. 2013 results provided further proof that our strategies are gaining traction and driving our performance to higher levels. I can think of numerous examples that illustrate this, but I will highlight just a couple. Let's start with our $1.4 billion US dollar automotive OEM business, which in 2013 grew over 7% organically, more than twice the rate of global auto production. We achieved this result through improved customer relevance, leveraging 3M's vast technology capability to solve problems for this important group of OEM customers. This business grew significantly in Q4 in developing markets like China, Mexico, and Indonesia by offering relevant solutions to these rapidly growing markets. Another example is our safety and graphic business group, which saw margins expand by more than 2 points in the fourth quarter. This improvement is due to part to several recent portfolio actions, which have resulted in improved customer relevance, greater scale, and reduced cost. We also saw improved profitability on recent acquisitions in this business. These are just two powerful examples of many that illustrate how the strategies are pushing 3M's performance to a new level. In closing, I want to recognize the people of 3M for their many contributions that continued our success as a company. We have great confidence and good momentum as we enter 2014. Our team are focused on executing our plan and creating even greater value for our customers and our shareholders. Thank you for your attention this morning, and we will now take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question using a landline phone, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone keypad. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before entering your request. Please limit your participation to one question and one follow-up. One moment, please, while we compile the Q&A roster. Our first question comes from the line of Joe Ritchie of Goldman Sachs. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Morning, Joe.
So my first question is really on the organic growth trajectory. It seems like you're exiting the year pretty strongly in industrial and in safety and graphics, but still some weakness there in electronics and energy. And so I was wondering if you could just provide some context and color as it relates to the guidance that you have for 2014, because the ranges across your segments tend to be pretty consistent. And so whether you have more or less confidence in any of the segments as you're building into 2014?
Well, you know, first of all, we hold to our guidance of 3-6 for the year. And you're right, we are coming out strong of the year, right? So if we look upon our performance in between Q3 and Q4 and add that together for the second part of the year, we had a very good second part of the year, so we feel good about that. In terms of businesses, you can see that we have had very good tick up in industrial as of lately, and we feel very confident of that business and that range, which is 3-6. The same for healthcare. You know, healthcare is continuing to grow well for us, and specifically, as you have seen in the developing economies. And again, we had in this quarter a 10% growth in that part of the world, and we have a very strong platform in the developed world, right? So we feel confident around that. I would say the other businesses are right in the middle of the range. We don't see any indication at this point in time of going outside the range. Again, as we know, electronics and energy is very much based in the electronic space, based on the market, right? And as you know, that is what we are following. And if there is if it's a little bit slower, that will impact us, of course, but it can turn around relatively fast. So from that perspective, the 2-6 guidance we have there, we feel confident with that. So no change at this point in time.
Okay, thanks, Inge. That's helpful color. And I guess my one follow-up question is really...
The 2-6 range is for electronics and energy. It's 3-6 for the company.
Right. Yeah. No, that's right. Yeah. And so I guess my one follow-up question is really for David. I know that you haven't made any changes to guidance. You know, over at the Outlook meeting, you provided us with a 2014 earnings bridge. I was wondering if there were any changes to any of the sub-buckets. And specifically, perhaps you can provide some color on the pension number, which is a pretty wide range at 10 to 20 cents.
Sure. So if you look at that earnings bridge, the answer would be right now, we don't see any changes to the bridge, the elements. If you were to think about where we're monitoring at the top or the bottom of those ranges, first, on pension, we come in now with a confirmed year-over-year decrease in expense of $150 million, or 15 cents a share, so right in the middle of that range we'd provided. And what I would say right now is the other area that we're monitoring, we said 0 to 5 on foreign exchange, and if there's anything that, you know, if I mark that to market today, it would be certainly towards the lower end of that 5 cent headwind versus the range right now versus as we saw it a couple months ago. So otherwise, we think we're looking fine in terms of the other elements.
And just to clarify, the lower end of that range, so you think the FX headwind is going to be closer to zero?
Closer to 5 cents, yeah.
Closer to five. Okay, yeah. Great. I'll get back in queue. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from the line of Scott Davis of Barclays. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Morning, David.
Congrats on a good 2013. Inga, you mentioned M&A in your prepared remarks, and you know, can you talk through? You know, you put out a pretty big number as a target of potential deals. I mean, can you talk through your confidence in deals, maybe the timing, the types of things you're looking at? You know, obviously can't name names, but, you know, I think if I look back at the years of 3M, it's been hard to really, you know, there hasn't been a lot of consistency to the R&D effort, or I'm sorry, to the M&A effort. So you just give us a little sense of what you're looking at there.
Yeah. Well, first of all, as you know, we have been working for the last 18 months to clarify the position of our businesses relative to our portfolio. And I think that's an important starting point relative to understanding of where we try to go. So if you think about Heartland and push forward, of course, places is for us that are interesting in order to build out, not only in terms of research and development, but potential acquisitions. So I think if you think about it from that perspective, we would like to look upon businesses that will either strengthen our very strong position for the Heartland divisions and or accelerate growth and push forward. So by definition, we are looking for many elements, as you know, relative to acquisition candidates, but think about it in those categories. Now, that can always be an exception to the rule, and if you have businesses where we really need to boost up our performance or build out and build more relevance, we will do that as well, right? And I think if you go back and think about the FS Tech that we did, that was into the traffic safety system, that by definition not is either Heartland or push forward, but was important for us to make that acquisition in order to build out our relevance in that market. So that's the way, think about it in that way versus think about as business groups, right? We're interesting everywhere, but I think it's from a market perspective in order to move the company forward. Now, the pipeline is good for us. We have, as I said, we have laid on a little bit of, we have always had a process of bottom up. We have type of laid on a top down approach as well in order to make sure that we do not miss out on potentials that go across business groups in terms of potential. You know, we have talked about size of potential acquisitions. I think that's a couple of things. We have built up now a very competent group relative to integration, because one of the things that is important for us is to integrate acquisitions as fast as possible and get the benefit for you and for us in terms of return of the investment. Now, you know, we will not go crazy if it doesn't, you know, we have done acquisitions in the past that have been on very small to mid-size, and we will really evaluate huge, huge acquisitions in terms of strategic importance. So I think you will see acquisitions in mid-range as well as we go ahead here. In terms of timing, as you know, it's very difficult to comment on timing. This will in some cases, will take some time, and we are very careful as we do this, as you know.
Okay, that's helpful. And then just as a follow-up, you know, obviously 3M is focused on R&D has been important and goes back a long ways, but something seems to have changed since you've taken over, Inga. It seems like the R&D focus may be yielding more results. If you just look across the, you know, where the growth rates have been higher, it's been generally the more, I would say, R&D intensive businesses that have been outgrowing their markets the most. I mean, what have you specifically changed that's yielded that acceleration in new products?
Well, first of all, this is not about me. This is about a very dedicated 3M team. So it's not about me. It's the credit should go to the business groups and the divisions and the subsidiaries. But I think that what I'm doing, I'm encouraging them really to make sure that they understand the business model in terms of us being able to create more value for our customers. Because that is the heartbeat for us in terms of making sure that we maintain and eventually improve margins and the return on the business. So I think it's there's reviews up with the whole way up to me relative to how we're doing, and also try to encourage to help them if there is some project that is maybe more difficult for them to pull off based on the current situation. So it's a little bit this of running a business with glasses on, with one microscope on one side and a telescope on the other side of the glasses, right? And I think that's important for us to do. So we feel good about it. We are very committed to research and development. It is, by definition, a real value creator for 3M. And if you think about it, we are, in terms of technologies, we are a creator and builder of technologies, and we also a user. But in addition to that, other companies can use the technologies. So that's the difference for us. We create and we develop the technologies, and in many cases, we're using it. But other companies, we can help them a lot for them to be more competitive by using our technologies, and that is the strength of 3M.
Okay, I think I did a lousy job of asking the question. I think what I was meaning to say is, have you made any change at all from focusing the efforts on disruptive technologies versus extensions?
Yes, we have. Extensions. Yes, we have. And that additional, so you know, when we tried to go from historically 5.5 closer to 6, and you saw we made a small improvement on that, specifically this quarter, we moved again. That additional investment is all into disruptive technologies for the future. So that's an important, thank you for that question. It's a very important piece.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
Our next question comes from the line of Andrew Obin of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, guys. Good morning, guys.
Morning, Andrew.
Hi. Just to dig in a little bit into what's happening in the emerging markets, and I guess specifically in South America, you know, it went from being the fastest growth market to the slowest growth market. How much of a surprise was it what happened in the quarter? And how are you sort of monitoring the developments there to make sure that it stays under control?
You know, let me start on the front end of the business. You know, first of all, there was a slight slowdown in the economies down there. And we saw that, as David said in his speech here earlier, was specifically around consumer confidence that impacted our consumer business. And then it was very much on, I would say, government-related businesses, specifically into utility businesses, where we have a strong position. So I think that, and that was broad-based for us. So the economy slowed, and as you know, there is a big business around mining in that part of the world. So that impacted us, and I would say, I don't know, you will always be a little bit surprised when you're not growing as fast as in the past, because you will do that. But generally speaking, we had a good feeling of what is happening in that part of the world. In terms of risks, as we talked about the Venezuela, you know, it's David, we make some comment here relative to how we are managing and monitoring that.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. So I think picking up on Inga's comments, if you think about the guidance we provided in December, we indicated we think that this year will grow 8 to 11% in the region. So a little bit off of where we have been in the last couple of years, but still elevated. And I would say today, as we look at that, probably we're thinking about it more along the lines of the low end of that range of 8 to 11. And specifically, it relates to what Inga said. We've got some sectors which we saw some slowing. We don't necessarily think that's going to remain slow all through 14, but we have to take that into account. And then I think in particular, we saw what's going on now. A very fluid situation is developing, in particular in Venezuela and at some level in Argentina as well. And so if you look at our business, we've got about each of those countries, our business is a little less than $200 million of revenue in each of the two countries. We've been in them for many decades, so we have very capable local management, and we have a good position in those markets. But inevitably, it does create both some risk in terms of our revenue growth in 14, as well as financial risk. So. And that's something that we monitor very carefully and we manage carefully given the volatility that we have in those markets and others. So if you look, for example, today in Venezuela, which is what we've called out as the most significant of our risks, we run the business on a local basis. The net monetary asset position of the balance sheet is basically flat. So that gives us a very good position in terms of addressing any risks that might occur, but we also have a $40 million receivable sitting at parent from the subsidiary on imported goods, and that's something that we're watching and managing quite carefully because we do recognize that there's risk there that we're going to have to manage through. So I would say nothing that's material for the corporation. But it's certainly something that we're very carefully monitoring and reacting to so that we can manage that risk. It's just really a conversion risk. And of course, you see in our results overall very strong pricing in the emerging markets, which is the other component of how we manage the risk of these countries. So we feel good about our ability to manage risk. But as I say, we're also very cognizant of the fact that we need to be proactive as well.
And the other side of the coin, the healthcare, you have very high margin, high growth business in emerging markets, part of the strategy, did very well in terms of top line growth. Could you just give us a sense how connected is this business to FX fluctuations, or is it fairly shielded just in terms of how the business works in emerging markets? How should
Sure.
we think about it?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So I would say that you start, in terms of FX risk, you have to think first about the overall risk profile that we have as a company, and healthcare is part of that. So we hedge on a rolling basis 50% of our exposures, which covers all of our business flows and our intercompany exchange fluctuations. So that applies to healthcare as with the other companies, other sectors of the business. So that's an important element that enables us to manage the risk. And then the second piece is obviously through time, the best way to manage foreign exchange risk is to have a balanced footprint of exposure structurally. So that's one of the reasons why we continue to localize the production of our products into the countries where we sell, which gives us a balanced foreign exchange risk profile. And I think, as you know, we've been working hard to both grow healthcare and as part of that strategy to localize production, which helps us to have a good profile to have local production, local R&D, which is closer to the customers, but it also gives us a better risk profile from a foreign exchange perspective. So I would say healthcare I don't view as something with, if you will, outsized risk compared to the other sectors in our business.
I guess what I was trying to say, just let me just explain,
sure.
Is healthcare spending in emerging markets, do you feel it's stickier versus consumer spending? It was sort of a simpler question, I think.
Okay.
Well, I think it's, as I've said earlier, in order for you to build out your business in a way, you will be able to move healthcare faster in a way than the consumer. And you're talking about developing economies due to the fact that there's many drivers there in terms of key opinion leaders that try to get to a service level and outcome around healthcare that is very strong. Versus you think about consumer, which is very much a retail brand equity driven, which take you a longer time in a way to change the mindset of people to go from one brand to the other. So generally speaking, I would say that in the model that I've showed you multiple times now in terms of how developing economies are evolving from manufacturing to infrastructure, so safety to retail consumer, in the end, healthcare. Often healthcare can come earlier due to that element. And in healthcare, generally speaking, in fact, dental and orthodontic is coming faster than the big healthcare business. So for us, it's a good model. We have still huge opportunities there. We're very pleased of the growth we see that is now coming based on some strategic investment we did, started a couple of years ago, actually, in order to build out that business.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of David Begleiter of Deutsche Bank. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning, David.
Inger, very good margin performance in safety and graphics. Is this what type of operating leverage would you look for in safety in 2014 over the course of the year?
Well, you know, I would say, first of all, thank you for the compliment relative to the improvements of the margin. And I think one of the reasons there is that some consolidation that was done of the businesses. So as we move ahead into next year, we are basically looking for the same leverage into 2014, specifically in that business. So I don't see as any huge change for us. I think we're on the level now that is, in the end of it, very competitive for us.
Understood. And just a follow-up on Asia, volume growth did slow. Was that all due to the tough comp in electronics, or was there some slowing in end market activity as well?
Generally, the Asia performance was in line with where we've seen it growing through the year. And as we called out, I'd say a couple areas that slowed. One was in China, and that was most particularly related to the underlying electronics business. If you look at the base business, excluding electronics, grew at 6 in China. And then if you look at our performance in Japan, which is the other most significant business we have in Asia, we grew quite strongly. 4% overall, but we were double-digit in the industrial area. So I would say, David, most specifically, we see linked to the electronics performance in Q4.
A very continued very strong growth in consumer and healthcare businesses.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Steven Winoker of Sanford Bernstein. Please proceed with your question.
Thanks. Good morning, guys.
Morning, Steve.
Could you just start with inventory impacts in terms of, you know, distribution is obviously important. Were you seeing any kind of stocking increases, decreases? How should we think about that?
Generally speaking, this quarter, no change, right? We didn't see anything. We didn't see anything of either on industrial, or specifically, as you know, we could be more concerned around consumer electronics. We didn't see any change there. And the other thing is around retail. I think retail were very stable as well. And as you know, they are managed very, very carefully. So I would say we don't see anything there in terms of change. And it's not a concern for us as we're sitting here now.
Okay, so all that U.S. growth is sort of core customer growth then? On the manufacturer side, industrial.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, we had very strong growth in the whole industrial space, right? Which then had a very good impact for many of our businesses, generally speaking, right? In the industrial space, so you have the whole industrial business group, but you have also safety and graphics with all the personal safety business, are doing very well in an environment like that. So that was good for us. So industrial in U.S. in the quarter, industrial business, you have 8% growth, and safety and graphic had 6% growth. And then it was a little bit slower in consumer and healthcare in United States at the end at this quarter.
Okay, and maybe just one more on pricing. So 1.4%, again, very strong, making up, as you mentioned, for this combination of currency, devals elsewhere, as well as sort of just core R&D supporting margin. But maybe can you give us an idea, again, of that 3-6% growth in 2014, how much of that are you anticipating to be volume versus price? And do you think that is, you know, your ability to keep up with continued currency moves with price, any issues on that front as you look forward, or we shouldn't just sort of count on those two offsetting each other?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. So if you look at the, as we looked at it in the fourth quarter and set out the guidance, our thinking has been that that is primarily volume that we'll look for in 2014 at the on the top end, on the revenue line. But obviously, so in other words, we expect price to be declining through the calendar year as we step through the quarters. Now, that would change, and it goes back to the view, to the extent we see weaker foreign exchange occur in certain of the countries where we operate. Certainly, we'll have to look at the actions that we need to take to preserve our position in the market and our ability to remain competitive. But certainly, our experience most recently in 13, but you can look over a longer period of time, is as long as we continue to develop, to offer a very strong price-value equation to the customers, we're able to address that through price as we need to. So I think, you know, we feel comfortable that we can do what's necessary to maintain that relationship.
Hey, Steve, it's Matt. Just to clarify one thing, prices will be positive in the year, but the positive impact should moderate as the quarters go on.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
Yep.
Our next question comes from the line of Deane Dray of Citi Research. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Deane.
First question for David on corporate expense. You had highlighted that would come in lower, and it did come in lower, and you said that there would be some ERP expenses that would be shifted to the segments, but it still came in lower than what we were looking for. So is there anything else going on in corporate, and what should be the run rate for that over the course of 2014?
14. Yeah. So the corporate expense line, it came in a little bit lower in the fourth quarter, and frankly, there are ups and downs there based on closing out accruals on a quarterly basis or one-off events. So I would say nothing that I would point to that was of a particularly, you know, headline and unusual nature in Q4. If I look forward into 2014. We expect that the corporate expense line is going to come in for the year somewhere in the range of 200 to 250 versus, I think it was 320 in 2013. And the majority of that, you can largely attribute that to the declining pension expense. So we'll pick up about two-thirds of the $150 million pension expense decline I mentioned will show up in that corporate line. Hence a reduction year over year of that magnitude. And again, it bounces around quarter to quarter, but generally speaking, I think you can pencil that in throughout 2014.
Good, that's real helpful. And then, David, I know you guys are not in the quarterly guidance business, but for the first quarter, would you want to call anything out that would be unique seasonally? And interesting,
sure.
For seasonal, I mean both calendar and as well as weather.
Okay.
That might be a factor that we should be considering, any one-timers.
Yeah. So, if you look at the business through the year, what I would say is that we consider most of the factors, whether that be at the top line, whether it be expense elements, we think that it'll be pretty steady through the year and follow more typical seasonal patterns. So Obviously, first and fourth quarter typically have the lowest revenue, but you know that'll be the case as we see. The couple of exceptions I would offer. One is one we already talked about, which is we do expect through the year to see some declining contribution of the price and raw materials as we move through the year. So positive, but declining. Secondly, we had called out in December, and that continues to be our intent, which is both some the incremental investment we're making in our European Center of Expertise on a year-over-year basis, as well as some restructuring actions that we have been looking at primarily in Europe and the U.S., that some of those would be about $20 to $30 million of additional expenses, which are comprehended. There's the strategic investment line, but you can see that it will be somewhat front-loaded for the year into Q1. And then the final point I would make on this is the one I talked about already, which is, you know, with what's happening in the markets globally right now, we're monitoring carefully developments in some of the emerging markets with a specific focus on Venezuela, because I think there's some discernible risk there, some event risk, which looks like may materialize as soon as Q1.
Great. Thank you for the caller.
Yep.
Our next question comes from the line of Laurence Alexander of Jefferies. Please proceed with your question.
Two quick ones. On your comment about the slightly weaker trend in infrastructure markets, are you seeing any signs of that bottoming out? And secondly, with respect to the emerging market volatility or credit risk that may be developing there, is that an opportunity for you to further gain share because of your relatively low cost of borrowing and access to finance? Or do you think that won't really have a material impact on your relative share position?
Yeah. Let me, on the first question, you know, I think that in terms of the infrastructure specifically, you know, for us was related specifically to utilities and government businesses in one part of the world, and it's also related to the mining industry there. We see that easing up as we go into 2014, so it's not overly concerned for us. In terms of emerging market, so let me give a perspective on developing an emerging market. We have been in the developing world for many years. So think about 3M. We started to do business outside of the United States in the 20s. And in fact, we have done business in BRIC in Brazil. We went 1946. So we have been for a long time in that part of the world. And the strengths for 3M, based on the history, is that we have learned a lot. So we know how to monitor a situation like this. And in developing economies, that will always be some type of bump in the road as you go. Now you have a very good point to say that when that is happening, and we have not only seen it, we have lived it many times over the year, and not only in the organization, but me personally and David Moline as well, as we have lived in some of those countries. So we have seen it and we have worked in those environments. The strings for 3M when this is happening is we are never going back. We continue to stay, but we are adjusting our organization. And we are in all cases, I would say, from an historical perspective, we are coming out stronger when it's done. And the reason for that is we right-sized the organization, we stay, continue our local connections, and we help the customers that are still there. Because when it turn again, because it will turn up, we are there with them. So in all cases, what have happened for us is that in a case when you come in a turmoil like this, we are coming out stronger due to the fact that we stayed. And I think that is an important element to know. So we are very local in the countries, but we have very strong centralized team with experiences that can help out in terms of making sure that processes is right, even on the financial side. And David will make some comments relative to that. But yeah. it's It's actually, for us, it's a good, not a good thing, generally speaking, but we're coming out stronger after a turbulence like that.
No, and you're right, Lawrence. We try to maintain a conservative posture from a risk management perspective, and we do enjoy the benefit, as do other large, well-managed multinationals, of having good access to credit, having the ability to assess credit risk. And so, exactly, while it can be bumpy at the front end, if you basically keep your head down and remain calm and have a playbook as we do, typically we can be advantaged as you see things start to turn around.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Ajay Kedriwal of FBR Capital Markets. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning, Ajay.
So maybe on healthcare margins, you talked about the medical device tax impact. Maybe any comment on what you saw in drug delivery systems and the trends there and any impact on margins from that business. And then also, I know in the past, David, you've talked about flexibility in that business in terms of how you manage margins and spending relative to top line. So if you can comment on how we should think about margins in 14 for healthcare.
Well, you know, as you asked specifically about DDSD, that is very much a project-based business, right? So we are selling R&D to other companies, and we are also selling products. So that's a business that can move a little bit in terms of quarter by quarter. So there was nothing happened there that is unusual, meaning that we lost business or something like that. So it's a strong business for us. In fact, we have extended some of the bigger contracts have now been extended. So as we look ahead for that business, it's a very solid, very good business for us, and we are very pleased with that. So look upon that as you know, there's always a start and a beginning to a quarter, and this quarter, based on the contracts and project we are working with, this is how it came out. So that's I wouldn't like you to be overly concerned about that business. In terms of healthcare, generally speaking, in terms of the margins, David will make some comment relative to that.
Yeah, so if you look, Ajay, if we look, I think it's how it looks for us in 14. I'd make a couple comments and maybe just pick up a little bit of commentary on the overall trend. So healthcare, we expect to run in the low 30s through 2014. The industrial safety and graphics and consumer, we expect to run around, as has been the case, around the company average. And if you look at electronics and energy this year, we ran in the high teens last year, which is what we expected as we started the year. This year we see that trending towards the high teens, towards 20%. So that's how we're looking at the overall view for the businesses. And I think the final point I'd offer, I talked about the corporate line. There's about a 30 basis points year-over-year increase in the cost that we'll be seeing in the businesses as it relates to our strategic initiatives around business transformation, the restructuring we've talked about, and the innovation funding.
Got it. That's very helpful. And then maybe some color around stock repurchase, so the range you have, $3 to $5 billion. Maybe just conceptually, what would be the variables that drive that purchase near the high end versus the low end?
Sure. So, So if you look at that and just to kind of frame the commentary, so as we announced in December, we made a decision as a company to adjust our capital structure to one that's more efficient. So by definition, that means increasing from a de minimis level the portion of our funding from borrowing, right, from bond issuances and borrowing. And it means that we also have to, as part of that, reduce the portion of the structure that's coming from equity funding. So by definition, that means we reduce the equity funding. We're going to do buyback, we said, of $17 to $22 billion for the period. We then looked at the sources and uses to the best we're able to predict them in the year, and we concluded that it looked to us starting the year $3 to $5 billion at the gross level looks like the right number for the company. And as I said in December, the way I think about that is that it's certainly something that's more discretionary than a number, frankly, many other of our the variables we manage from a sources and uses perspective. But it's our best view as we start the year. And what we'll do then is we'll have a portion of that a repurchase that we do on a steady basis through the year. We also look and pay attention to intrinsic value, to the price in the market of all assets, including the one we're repurchasing here, and that impacts how we deploy capital into that area. So we'll adjust our share repurchase through the year based on the overall view of the business and sources and uses, and we'll also adjust the repurchase activity based on a thinking about a core component as well as how the, you know, share price is looking as well.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Andy.
Yep. Our next question comes from the line of Shannon O'Callaghan of Nomura Securities. Please proceed with your question.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Shannon.
Morning.
Hey, David, just maybe if we could, you know, size this you know, Latin America risk that you called out with Venezuela and Argentina. So you said they're both, you know, less than $200 million in revenue each.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at the corporate average margin, you're talking about sort of less than a dime of EPS. I mean, is that the scope of the risk you're talking about, or is there more risk than that? I mean, could there be, could things get worse than that in terms of losses or other impacts?
Yeah, it's a good question, John. So I don't see right now from what we can see, and obviously it's pretty fluid, if I were to size that risk, I think there's event risk that could put the exposure from an earnings perspective into the 3 to 4 cent a share range.
Okay. Thanks. That helps.
Yeah.
The strength in Europe, right? I mean, you talked about Germany, you know, being very strong broadly, I think, but also in particularly in industrial. I mean, do you have a view in terms of, you know, how much of the strength you're seeing in Europe is intrinsic to Europe versus related to export?
Well, I think it's a mix, you know, and I also think one of the things we have to think about here is just the comparison, right? But first of all, we see very good acceleration, specifically on the industrial side, I would say, both in Germany and also, even if a reporting issue, nothing we talk about West Europe, we also see that in Poland, actually. So I think we see both West Europe been driven by manufacturing uptick, which I would say it's a balance in between domestic production for Germany, but also export for them, of course. As you know, it's a big automotive industry in Germany that are exporting quite a bit. But so I think we have still to be cautious about Europe, but it's a very positive trend. And if we look upon it for our side, you know, we in West Europe, we had Q1 this year was a -3%. We're basically flat in Q2. We have a 3% growth in Q3 and another 3% in Q4. But I would say when I look upon it, when you get Germany from flat in the first half of the year to around 6%, and it was 8% in the last quarter, that's very encouraging for us. And again, as I said, you know, the businesses there for us that had good growth was industrial had 6% growth in West Europe. So it's encouraging for us, but we still have to be cautious as we go into the year. And we are type of looking upon West Europe next year for flat to 3% growth, right?
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Steve Tusa of J.P. Morgan. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning. It's Drew Pearson on for Steve.
Morning.
Hi, good morning.
I know we're running long. Just quickly, I don't know if you commented on the linearity of the quarter. Is there anything interesting to call out in terms of month-to-month trends?
Within the quarter, I would say nothing, Drew, that we'd want to point to that would be unusual spikes up or down beyond what we've talked about more generally this morning.
And then on the price cost side, I believe you mentioned kind of the gradual closing of that gap through the year. Just when we think about the components of that, I know you have your sourcing programs. I know the raws have maybe ticked up very slightly, but maybe just a little bit more color around kind of how to think about the different factors and how they progress.
Yeah. So if you look at the components of price and raw materials, so we talked about price where we exited 2013 quite strong. We see that then moderating as we walk through the year towards a de minimis level, right, but still slightly positive. And if you look at raw materials, what we indicated our outlook for the year was another favorable 5 to 15 cent a share performance in 2014. We exited the year actually pretty stable with raw material performance, so we were down a couple percentage points in 13 through the year, including Q4, and we see that moderating somewhat as we move through the year, but there will be some carryover impact certainly as we enter the first part of the year here.
Okay, thanks for the detail.
Sure.
And our last question comes from the line of Nigel Coe of Morgan Stanley. Please proceed with your question. Hello, Nigel. Your line is open. Please proceed with your question. I do apologize, Nigel Coe. Your line is open. Please proceed with your question. I will close his line. That concludes the question and answer portion of our conference call. I will now turn the call back over to 3M for some closing comments.
Well, thank you again for joining us today. Appreciate your attention, your continued interest in 3M, and we'll look forward to speaking to you next quarter. So have a great day.